From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Pleased to be with you. It is snowing outside the cave here in St. Louis. And next hour, psychic medium Chip Coffey joins us. Demons, get ready for this one. Well, here's some of the news of the day. A sick prank in Boston. I mean, absolutely idiotic. More than 10 blinking electronic devices planted at bridges and other spots in Boston threw one heck of a scare into the city in what turned out to be a publicity campaign for a late-night cable cartoon. The devices depict a character making an obscene gesture. Boston police say that a 27-year-old man has been arrested and charged with one count each of placing a hoax device and disorderly conduct in connection to the devices. Officials say they were looking into the possibility of holding a cable company, Turner Broadcasting, responsible for additional criminal charges and civil damages. Turner Broadcasting has apologized for this stunt. Highways, bridges, and a section of Charles River were shut down. Bomb squads were sent in before authorities declared the devices were harmless. However, and that's the reason why later on this hour, we're bringing in Douglas Hagman from Homeland Security U.S., not affiliated with Homeland Security. We're going to talk with him about what this kind of act can do to a nation, literally shut down parts of Boston. In Britain, a ninth person has now been arrested over what senior security sources say was an alleged plot to kidnap a member of the armed forces there. He was a Muslim soldier in Britain. They were going to kidnap him. They wanted to behead him and put pictures of this on the internet. Police say their investigation may also take days, if not weeks, to conduct even more. They arrested eight other men earlier following a series of morning raids. Security sources said the terror plot, not aimed at mass casualties, could mark a different approach to UK terrorism. California, the Coast Guard is searching the waters off Northern California for an award-winning computer scientist missing since a weekend sailing trip to scatter his mother's ashes at sea. A cargo plane, a helicopter, and six patrol boats have been scouring the Pacific for Jim Gray, who helped develop the technology behind popular computer mapping programs that you would find at Google Earth. He's 63 years old, of San Francisco, was last heard from on Sunday, the day he set out from San Francisco. What's very strange about all this is he called his wife from his 40-foot yacht to say that he was sailing out of cell phone range. A Coast Guard spokesperson says this disappearance is a mystery because the weather was good, he was in good health, the boat was equipped with radios and flares, there were no distress signals. Pirates. In Venezuela, Congress, wholly loyal to President Hugo Chavez, approved a law granting the Venezuelan leader authority to enact sweeping measures by presidential decree. He's just become the king of Venezuela. A Northeast Ohio farmer was attacked by a cow and died a day later of a fractured skull suffered when his head hit the ground. The cow charged the 55-year-old man, knocked him down inside of a barn in Ohio. He was pronounced dead on Tuesday in intensive care at a hospital. Investigators plan to interview Walker's 8 and 13-year-old grandsons who witnessed the attack. The cow might have become agitated as he moved one of her calves. A California lawmaker wants to make his state the very first to ban incandescent light bulbs as part of California's groundbreaking initiatives to reduce energy use and greenhouse gases that some blame for global warming. The act is called How Many Legislators Does It Take to Change a Light Bulb Act? It would ban incandescent light bulbs by 2012 in favor of energy-saving light bulbs. How about that? And after 6 years, you'd think that someone would have wondered whatever happened to a guy named Vladimir. Russian police got their answer late last week when they went to the apartment of this guy in Russia. He hadn't been seen since 2000. What they found stunned them. His body was discovered in a sitting position, his arm still retaining some flesh, leaning on the kitchen table, his head slumped over, an empty vodka bottle and a glass sat in front of him. Neighbors reported that the 68-year-old man vanished without a trace 6 years ago. Well, there he was all along in his apartment. How did they find him? Housing management workers were making their rounds in apartments, knocking on doors for those people who had owed money, unpaid bills. 6 or 7 years of unpaid bills, and they never entered the apartment? Very strange. Okay, we've got Douglas Hagman up next for us. We're going to talk about the Boston scare story. But what does that really mean to all of us around the country? Douglas is next. We'll take phone calls with him this hour as well on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Doug Hagman, veteran private investigator, more than 20 years of experience working for major companies, a surveillance specialist, author of Tactical Surveillance. He has experience as an operational asset for both federal and state law enforcement agencies. He's a member of the International Counterterrorism Officers Association, heads up the Northeast Intelligence Network. Homeland Security U.S. is his website. And we're bringing him in to talk about this Boston bomb scare. Normally, I do not report on bomb scares, but because of the way this one was handled today and the way it occurred, it has become a major story today. Douglas, first of all, thanks for coming back to Coast to Coast.
Well, George, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
Okay, so glued to the television, listening to the radio all day at this Boston scare situation, when in the beginning they really weren't too sure on what this was. And I got to tell you, it just brought back 2001 all over again, Douglas.
You know, I felt the same way. I happened to be in a position in my office where I was watching the entire incident unfold. Shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, we received information about the first suspicious package or the first object being found under the I-93 underpass. And having driven over that in that section many times, I could visualize the importance of that area in terms of a strategic target, especially for mass transit and transportation. And then as the day grew on, it was interesting to see, and educational at that too, to see how the response by the authorities just unfolded. And you could almost feel the tension too with respect to the photograph or the images on the television. The clusters of uniformed and police and bomb squad units, and plus the gridlock of the normal civilian traffic that caused, thinking that perhaps, you know, if those were bombs, if the initial devices would have exploded, that would be one thing. But you know, what about the possibility that there would be secondary devices, or if this whole thing was a diversionary type of situation. But in the end, $500,000 worth of resources in the course of just a matter of hours expended, untold man hours over a hoax is just and hoax. I'm not even sure that's the proper word for it. You know, that is sinful, shameful, and whoever thought of this, that didn't think too far into this because of the times that we do live in, even if they weren't allegedly supposed to look like, you know, circuit boards or bomb-like devices, certainly they looked enough like them, you know, for the situation to have started like this.
Absolutely. You know, I have a friend of mine, a great former talk show host here in St. Louis, Jim White, and he used to say on his show, "You can't fix stupid." You know what? This was reminiscent of that. When I saw this unfold and realized that, you know, this was a publicity stunt, I mean, how stupid, Douglas, can they be to do something like this?
I really can't think of too many more steps down the Darwinian line we could go with this in a post 9/11 society, to be honest with you. And you know, it's hard to believe too, looking at this now, that this would be a sanctioned event by the television network or the cable company itself. I would think too, there's a lot of aspects of this story I'm just not comfortable with, or apparently just not understanding the fact that I would think that there would have to be permits that would have to be made, and at least people notified within the city government, you know, for this to really, you know, for you to be hanging things on public property.
Well, apparently it's going around the country too. There are a couple of these bags all over the place and these devices. Is that true?
Well, reportedly, there are other cities involved in this. And that was the other thing, too, when this was unfolding, I was on the telephone with a law enforcement official as well in another large city who said that they were on alert based on the events in Boston. But with respect to the other cities involved, that's not really been confirmed, at least nothing beyond the open source information that I'm, you know, that I've seen, but I'm not privy to anything beyond that.
You got to congratulate Boston Police and the Bomb Squad folks for jumping on this pretty darn quickly. Huh?
Oh, indeed, and I think the response, if we were not really at war, and it's certainly this nation, a lot of times it doesn't feel like this nation feels like we're at war or on a war footing. It would, you know, the response is commendable, but for those wishing to do us harm, like you and I today, looking at the television set, we could evaluate the law enforcement response, and that, of course, is something that our enemies are extremely interested in.
Well, I got to tell you, though, Douglas, what bothers me is what can be done, how things can be crippled, which is an act of terrorism, by basically doing nothing. And that tells you, again, just how vulnerable we are as a nation, because how low-tech could an operation like this be with real small bomb devices? It's low-tech, and it's very easy to create chaos.
Indeed it is. You know, and in today's society, too, we've got the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. That's a target-rich environment, a level one.
Well, it always has been since 2001. Right?
Indeed it has. The security plans for that, though, are 6 inches thick, and there is the commitment of $6 million to protect this the Super Bowl. Now, if you think about that, you know, how, and you compare that to the possibilities, I mean, they're talking about trying to cover all possibilities. And, you know, even with the $6 million security investment, something very low-tech like this certainly could escape the thoughts and the plans of such an elaborate security measure. So I guess the point I was trying to make with that is it's just incredible how today's events were just incredible to watch them unfold on television. And indeed, as you said, it was reminiscent, at least with the mindset initially, reminiscent of the watching things happen on 9/11. You get that kind of feeling in the pit of your stomach that, you know, as things unfold. But that's what terrorism does, too. You know, we have to look at that. Terrorism is meant to terrorize, and but we do have to commend the law enforcement for their, indeed, for their the method in which they handled this. It was done very, I'll tell you what, it was a fantastic exercise in technique, I would say.
Which leads me to this question, Douglas. You and I have been talking about this now for years, and thank God, knock on wood, whatever you do to feel comfortable, we haven't had a major terrorist attack in this country since 9/11, outside of that anthrax scare, and that investigation is still open. My gosh, Douglas, how long is it going to take before somebody decides, you know what, we're going to start fighting back again? And I think we're on borrowed time. I really do.
Oh, indeed, I do as well, and so does law enforcement. And I think they're beginning to realize that it was some 8 years between the first World Trade Center attack and of course, 9/11, and we had some events happen in between that that could be related to state-sponsored terrorism. I indeed do think we're on borrowed time, and I think that the biggest threat now with respect to terrorism, especially in this country, or one of the biggest threats, I should say, are the self-recruited, self-executed, homegrown terrorist types that really have no connection to any type of command or control structure that'll go out and perhaps do something like we saw today, except on a different scale, perhaps. And I think we have to look at these situations as well. But indeed, that our time. I think we are on borrowed time, as you astutely put it here. I have to agree with you on that, especially with the mindset, the world opinion, or the Americans on the world stage, the attitudes against Americans right now, and I think that kind of stokes the fires altogether. So I think that you know, not wishing anything to happen. I think that to be realistic, I think that we have to, I think our threat environment has gone, indeed gone up since 9/11.
A fast blast in from Dave in Cleveland, who says, great to know the Boston police are on it, but our country still has wide open borders. What are we going to do about that? He's right.
Oh, you know, I spoke with Dr. Jerome Corsi this past week. We were talking about the border in between the United States and Mexico and the plight of the two Border Patrol agents down there who were jailed for shooting at wounding a Mexican drug smuggler and other issues related to that. It seems as if a lot of things, especially those coming, policies coming from inside the Beltway, don't necessarily are not consistent with a serious effort to keep our country safe, the southern border being one of them. So I agree with that.
You know, a lot of people are a little upset about this, though. They say that pictures of these things were on the website a couple weeks ago. They were posted on some various websites that it was, again, I think, a sick publicity stunt. Didn't anybody notify anyone? Hey, we're going to be doing this in a time where everybody's tense anyway?
That's the $64,000 question, I believe. If this was indeed sponsored by the company itself or the corporation, you would think that there would be a process to notify the city officials and to let everyone know where these pictures are going to be. And I question, too, the very first package that was found along the I-93, or underneath I-93. How in the world did that person get up there to put it above or between the bus, the top of the bus terminal, and the or on the column of I-93? It's amazing. So, you know, a lot of questions with regard to this, and if all of these packages are indeed related, even from the first to the last, if that is indeed true, then there has to be some accountability. At least on the part of those who perpetrated this publicity hoax, if you will.
Some say that, according to a Turner Broadcasting, that this has been going on for 2 weeks in Seattle, Chicago, Boston, and New York City. Do you believe that the media blows these things out of proportion? You know, I'm not talking this hour with you about the scare. I'm talking about the results of the scare. To me, that's the story. But do you think the media blew this episode out of proportion today?
You know, that's a great question. I think that's subjective, I guess, to the person watching the media. I suppose what I saw to a large extent was the channel I watched. It at times, especially after it was obvious that that there was nothing to these devices, it seemed like there was still a lot of hype that was extended, unnecessarily extended with regard to this.
And I mean, one of the networks, Douglas, said maybe it's just a test for the real bigger event later. Maybe they want to, you know, draw out our resources and see how we handle it. I mean, it was really getting out of control.
Indeed, it was. You know, and some of the some of those behind or in front of the television screen were seemingly enjoying the aspect of the news, the attention that this brought, which was inconsistent with the feelings of the law enforcement officer I was talking with on the phone. I think the media plays into this a lot, and, you know, it's the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads type thing, and I think that this was a perfect example of that.
Well, we're going to open up our phone lines, Douglas. We'll have people chat with you and with me about this situation and primarily the scare and just what it does to a country in total. And, you know, some people are now at a point where they're laughing about this. I can't laugh about it because, again, I don't think it was a very smart publicity stunt.
No, I'm with you. I don't know of anybody within our circle of law enforcement officers or people that we deal with that find this humorous one bit.
It's like looking at an old lady fall when she hits the crack of a sidewalk and she falls on her face. Some people actually would think that's funny.
Well, yeah, obviously. And you know, that's a very sick... So we live in a sick world with respect to that, and I think the humor with this is absent.
Okay, stick with us. We're going to open up the phone lines now with our special guest, Mr. Douglas Hagman, west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255, east of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, that's 818-501-4721, and the wild card line, ready to roll at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Some great fast blasts coming in on this topic we're talking about this hour. Brian from Athens, Georgia, basically says, look, the big threat here was not the grassroots ad campaign, but rather the public hysteria and misinformation that came along with it. The economic damage was done by erroneous police mobilization, not terrorism. And then there comes Donna from Watson, Missouri, who says, you're blowing this all out of proportion. It's unnecessary hype. Stan from Boca Raton, Florida, merely says the Cartoon Network people have got to be congratulating themselves. They did get a lot of publicity. So we'll take some of your calls this hour in just a moment. I want to mention that a lot of coast-to-coast guests, including Richard C. Hoagland, will be attending the 2007 Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. So you want to go out there, meet them, listen to their presentations and speeches. It's at the LAX Hilton, February 9th through the 11th. That's the exposition and conference. They've got some post-conference seminars on the 12th. The website is consciouslifeexpo.com. If you don't have a computer and you want more information on how to see these guests, call 800-367-5777. And I guess, Douglas, people are so uptight now with the situation in Iraq, with the possibility of some kind of conflict with Iran, and everything else that's been going on. I think people really are at their boiling point, don't you?
You know, George, I do think that's the case in a lot of situations. You know, the one fast blast, however, that you read about the erroneous police response. I was trying to think in the interim what the appropriate or what that person would have thought the appropriate police response should have been. Perhaps not to respond to these calls of suspicious packages, or you know, you just don't know until you get there and evaluate the situation, at least from a law enforcement perspective. But I think you're right. I think that there are a lot of people who are paying attention that are on edge, and in that respect, I think that the terrorists have succeeded in terrorizing a populace. But on the other side of the coin, we cannot diminish the actual level of threat that we do face, especially you know in a post 9/11 world. So it's kind of you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. Type situation at this point.
Well, you know, for a moment while I was watching this unfold and I was talking about this being a stunt, I didn't think of it as a stunt for a promotion or a publicity campaign for a cartoon. What I was thinking, and I want you to react to this, I was saying, what a great way to get more cameras put all over this country, which is what some of these people want anyway. So you create this kind of fear technique, and then people say, but if we had cameras, we could find out who did this. So we want to put cameras everywhere. I thought about that, Douglas. I thought about that for a moment.
Oh, and you're correct. I think that the there's a desire there to there was a story recently, I think it was on Drudge, that had focused on cameras that were actually X-ray type cameras, and I don't recall where they were used, but the invasive of privacy that the amount of liberties that this country is prepared to give up for the sake of security is mind-boggling, and I think that we have to balance that out. I think that cooler heads have to prevail, because certainly I don't want to lose any more of my civil liberties simply because of the threat of terrorism.
If those devices had turned out to be real and they had polled people instantly in that Boston area and said, how do you feel about putting cameras all over the place? I'm talking about thousands of cameras. You know, they'd see you when you came out of your door. They'd see you in driveways. They'd see you in alleys. I wonder what people would have said.
Oh, I'm sure the majority would say whatever you have to do to keep us safe, you know, to the extent of putting cameras up.
And that's the danger, Douglas.
That's a great point. That's a, and your program brings it out. I love that. That's a great point because people don't realize that, or a lot of people don't realize the consequences of their thoughts and actions.
Let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Jay from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Jay.
And first off, George, I got to say it's a great honor to talk to you. Been a huge fan for years.
Thank you.
My take on this whole situation, you know, I didn't find out about this till well after they'd already figured out what it was and that it was no harm, you know, nothing harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, it's kind of silly. I kind of think it's silly, and it is amusing from my standpoint, being that I have a lot of people who, a lot of friends, and a couple family members who actually work for Turner and Cartoon Network. And it's just kind of, it's just silly. On the one hand, it's kind of a neat ad campaign idea, but you know, you're right. It could have been carried out better.
Yeah, it was the timing was bad.
The timing and the planning, I think, was poor. But it's just looking at some of the pictures and video that I've seen on the nightly news tonight was, you could tell that it's not. I mean, just looking at it, you can tell it. It's colorful lights on a circuit board. It's not, you know.
I mean, people are so uptight, Jay, about, you know, knapsacks left in bus stations.
Oh, true,
on buses and stuff.
True.
I mean, if this were done in Israel, where they're petrified of things like that,
right.
My God, what would happen?
Right, but I just wanted to give you my comments on that. It's just, I kind of think it's, you know, I'm laughing about it now, looking back on it, but it's just kind of, it's ridiculous.
Okay, great. Good to have you with us. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Danny calling from Atlanta. And I originally thought I was going to be in the minority when I called in, but after hearing your fast blast before the last break and then the guy who just called from Atlanta, I think it's kind of a misnomer to call it a hoax or something of that nature because I've been a fan of Aqua Teen Hunger Force for a long time, and they've done all kinds of really weird advertising campaigns. And true, this may not have been the best one to try to do at this time. But if it was something, I think that if it was something people could immediately recognize, like, say, the Starship Enterprise or something like that, just things like that with lights on it around, people wouldn't think anything about it. But they'll drive past, you know, dozens of cars broken down every day when that could be a lot more devastating than a small circuit board with lights on it.
It tells me, Danny, and you're right, but what it tells me, and Douglas, give me your reaction to this. It tells me that law enforcement might be expecting the real thing, and they don't want to say anything about it.
Oh, yeah, 100% accurate, George. They are expecting the real thing. There are numerous, I've seen numerous memos, joint DHS-FBI bulletins come across my desk, especially within the last, I'm going to say, 6 to 7 weeks, about improvised explosive devices and the threat that they pose to the people in our country, and the increased possibility of these devices being used in this country as they are being used in Israel. Now, again, that might be down the road a ways, or that might be an exaggeration to some degree, at least the way I phrased it, but it's still a possibility, and I think that we have to keep this in mind. But you know, it's interesting. Everyone is shifting the focus from the event itself and the fact that at the time no one really knew exactly what it was to after the fact and the reaction after the fact and to think, kind of second guessing law enforcement at the time. It's easy to do to second guess once a situation has been thoroughly, no pun intended, defused and then analyzed. But the real focus, I think, in this case, as you pointed out at the beginning of the program, is the reaction by law enforcement and the response by law enforcement, and the fact that the stupidity behind this event too.
You have to take these events seriously, and though you could laugh about it today, and a lot of people are, you have to take these seriously, whether it's contrived by people who are trying to whittle away our rights, and I think that's a real possibility, or whether there's real terrorism that wants to hit us, you have to take this seriously.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and you talk about whittling away rights in response to the border problem, and just shifting topics briefly, in response to the border problem in the South, there's an Arizona bill, 2286, that is pending right now that would make, if passed, would make groups like the Minutemen and even the Guardian Angels, for example, felons if this bill is passed, because
the
wording of this House Bill 2286 is just so insane, and you talk about the erosion of one's civil liberties and civil rights to protect yourself and your property. This is a consequence of the post 9/11 thinking in this country, and I think that that's the danger which we fall into.
Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard line, your turn. Hi there.
Is that me, George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Bear with me. I'm a little nervous. I
will bear with you.
You know, what I'm perceiving as just kind of like Joe Sixpack out here is that, you know, this thing seems to, every day they seem to be increasing this, you know, this color level, this paranoia. You can walk down the street and feel the tension. You know,
yes.
You say hello to someone, and instead of saying hello back, they seem to, you know, look at you as if you're
weird or something.
Yeah, you know, it used to be, hey, how you doing? Now it's, what do you want from me, or what are you going to do to me? You know, I've got so many things to, I've written down so many things here, I don't know where to start, but it really, does seem like, I don't know if they're created, or if it's being developed as a mechanism to create this paranoia, to continue this quote surge over in the Middle East, you know, to make us all feel as if this thing is just an imminent disaster waiting to happen. If you remember back a couple of weeks, the mysterious smell in New York.
Sure.
I remember reading a fiction book about a guy who flew a plane over the New York area with these misters of this disease that they found in these miners, black lung or black plague or something. And, you know, as this continues, you know, it seems like there's an ultimate plan. I mean, let's look at this realistically. How long has this experiment called America been going on? 1776, we use as an example. You know, it's not that long. And it seems to me that, you know, this thing has turned into, it seems like the powers that be know it's not working anymore, or they want to continue their profit level, or, again, the world global economy, which is supposed to be doing so good, but we have a problem increasing the minimum wage.
Well, let's see, it can work. What our forefathers wanted can work if they allow it to work. They don't want it to work.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I look at it like in the long run, what they want is like four or five regions globally, with a handful of people controlling them.
Oh, you're so right on. So right
on.
You
know, I just, like, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Well, and even though today was a stupid publicity stunt for the time, all right, for the time, I bet some of these globalists watched how it was handled. Watched
exactly.
The reaction.
And you know, you see these you know, they show you on TV and they mention, oh, here was this guy with this particular color skin, or this Easterner taking photographs of a building, or this or that. And then, you know, oh, my God, you know, they might be about ready to do something again. And then when you look at the films of, in my opinion, imploded buildings and to 9/11, not that the planes didn't hit the buildings, but some of the other things that were happening, it does seem that there's a master plan going on here, and they want to keep up this tension level. As an example, okay, I live in Wisconsin, And in Milwaukee just recently, all over, I'm sure you've heard about it, there was this package, a radioactive package that was lost, mm-hmm. a medical radioactive substance that's used in MRIs or CAT scans or whatever it is.
Really low-grade stuff.
Right, but at the same time, at least in my area here on the local news, it was expressed that if someone had their hands on this stuff, that they could they equated it to the Russian spy guy that got poisoned and died.
Sure.
And so there's this constant tension.
Keep us on edge.
Yes, and you know, I think it's for many reasons. You know, you hear about the dumbing down of America, you hear about the contrails, you hear about all these different little angles to it. But I think really one of the basic angles is that they keep this fear level up. And if you allow yourself to fall into this fear level for any length of time, you automatically fall into this kind of tension of not only the country but the world, you know, and you know what's going to happen next, and oh my God, yes, we better go and agree, you know,
to the cameras, let's say. This is just
I was just going to say that I live in a very small town in Wisconsin, in between Milwaukee and Chicago, and we have cameras. Now, we used to have a very beautiful downtown monument, Civil War-type monument square. Now, it looks like Tiananmen Square. It's flat. It's nothing. It's all brick. The trees are down. They've got cameras everywhere. And one of the largest companies in the country, I don't know, should I mention it?
Well, and only if it's important to the story.
Well, they do floor wax.
All right.
And one of their main headquarters and offices is right across the street from this little square area. And there's a lot of chemicals and laboratories involved in this. And you can walk down the street and you look up and there's cameras all over the place. And so
I'm afraid it's just the beginning, because what's going to happen next is they're going to say, well, now we all need to be chipped, and now all these things need to fall in place. Douglas, he was a good call.
You know what, George, 6 years ago or 5 years ago, I would have been a little bit...
you would have laughed at this. You would have laughed at this.
Yes, and you know, your program has been at the forefront of drawing out things, the globalist agenda, for instance. I remember the Dubai ports world situation.
Yes.
You led you really led the charge on that, exposing that. And I think, absolutely correct, the more I research into the issues of terrorism, the more aspects, the more connections I do find to a globalist agenda.
See, Douglas,
absolutely.
You're beginning to change too. Because when we first started talking, you know, you were, and let me tell you, you're a great researcher and you're a great patriot for this country. But, you know, you saw terrorism versus us. Now you're beginning to see a bigger picture.
Well, you know, and it's not hard to once you look at different things and you see the legislation that is pending and has passed and the erosion of civil liberties, and you know, frankly, listening to your program alone has been a great asset in the research, the guests that you have on. So indeed, I'm looking at this now more of a from a globalist perspective, and seeing, and I'm afraid that they are winning, and it, you know, it's just a matter of time, and you're indeed correct on numerous fronts.
Thanks, Douglas. Appreciate you sharing your views with us on Coast to Coast.
Thanks, George.
That's Douglas Hackman. So now you know why I wanted to do this story this hour. It wasn't about the publicity stunt. It wasn't about the way it was handled. It was the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is, what do the globalists really want with us? That's what you need to think about. I'll be back in a moment. Chip Coffee, our very special guest, psychics, demons. Oh, it's all coming tonight on Coast to Coast AM.